Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
Thanks for being a part of it and allowing it to be a part of you. It is Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max with Sarah Kustak from the YES Network joining us the whole hour here on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM Channel 80. Jay Williams over there, Keyshawn Johnson over there as well, along with Freddie coming in for Max Kellerman. Keep hitting us up. We love to hear what you have to say at 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. And real quick, and you guys are discussing in terms of dynamics when it comes to players and how things work. How interesting is it that Jimmy Butler was supposed to be a guy that was a dynamic killer, and nobody's had that discussion about him ever since he's gotten to Miami after what happened in Minnesota and even a little bit in Philadelphia, where they still miss that guy being there more than anybody else?
So this is why, and I'll be frayed up. Jeez, get it together,
Wake
Williams.
Up!
I'm up. It's nine.
Stress going.
I'll be straight up about it. So a lot of me, Sarah, because I'm always on my phone, right? I'm constantly on apps. You know, I'm trying to get Key to download a damn app on his phone.
Oh.
But drastic difference.
I'm with you. Throw these
Key's still trying
river.
To fix the antennas on his TV screen. lean this way. Oh, I think I saw something. What was that?
Good
we
burn.
All know that feeling.
Good burn there, Jay.
You know that one, Freddie. What was
good
that?
Burn.
I think I saw something.
Go stand over there and hold that, Jay. Go still. Tilt it a little more to the right.
Oh, and not one of those friends. All I'm saying, though, is that when we live in a highlight-driven world, right, when people wake up and they see recaps of games, you're not showing Jimmy Butler highlights. They're not going viral. They're not trending throughout the course of the regular season. You're seeing Kyrie do two moves making people fall. You're seeing Jason Tatum go for 50-plus. You're seeing Luka Doncic do something that reminds you of LeBron James. You see Stephen Curry breaking records for threes, slingshotting it, taking shots, and then tell you, don't shoot like me, little kids. I shoot differently, right? You don't see those same things as Jimmy Butler, so that the sex appeal almost feels like it's not as shiny of an object, right? It's a little bit more fundamentally sound, a little bit more gritty, more like Batman than Superman. And I think now people are starting to appreciate that more because that transcends into culture and that translates into just getting the job done on the court.
Yeah, it looks different. Like you say, Jay, it's not the highlight splash. It's not crackle pop that everybody wants in sports. And that's the way that I look at it. People that know basketball, they appreciate that. Mm-hmm. More so than the snack, crackle, pop, splash. It's just like in football. More football coaches appreciate a certain type of guy versus what we show on Monday night highlights. And if you ever notice, the splash guys in sports typically go away. Guys like Jimmy Butler, they stay around for a long time.
What did you both just describe? You described a mentality, a characteristic of something that you don't always see pop up on a box score. That, to me, is Heat culture. That's why where he's at and what he's doing and what that team is about. Like, it's not the same. I know we're talking about Jimmy. P.J. Tucker changed the complexion of that game in the second half coming back. But how do you – does the casual fan know anything more about P.J. Tucker than – he's got some fire on his feet and wears some of the dopest sneakers. But he is such an integral part of what they do. And when it comes to Jimmy, I'll never forget the dialogue and conversation when he was leaving Philly, going to Miami, talking about winning. It was, wait a second, you're in a place that you can absolutely have a great opportunity to win a title. If you're about winning – Wait, what's different about Miami? And he is just a winner. And everywhere he goes, that's about what he instills. And to me, that's why it's such a perfect fit for where he's at, this organization, why things operate and function as they do, because they are all about the details, the attention to detail, and about what can we do to win. And to me, that's exactly what Jimmy is.
So you ready for the tough question, sir?
Give it to me.
Is Jimmy Butler a top five player in the NBA? See, this is where you end up struggling, right? Like, so let's go through a couple of the names.
Wait, before you go through your names,
okay?
What do you?
It's all subjective. How do you define?
How do you define?
It's like MVP voting.
Top five player. Is it based on their volume of scoring?
How do you define? How would you define it?
I would define it as someone that gives me everything.
Okay.
Meaning, a LeBron, a Jimmy Butler. They give me everything. Okay. On so both ends of the floor, leadership in the locker room.
Okay.
All I know every time I get on that court.
Is Stephen Curry a top five? Because he doesn't give it to you in the defensive end the same. See,
this is where the lists are so fluid.
Even though he don't give you some things on the defensive end, if there's a category of, let's say, eight things, he going to give you seven of the eight.
So he's top five to you.
All eight. Almost cursed.
Luka, is Luka top five? Because he gives you seven out of eight.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, Joel Embiid.
I mean,
so like this is
what
I get
have a
into.
Feeling is you're about to list off eight players that I'm going to be like, uh-huh, uh-huh.
Well, that's what I'm saying. So like I get into, we're talking about this, Sarah, like, you know, I'm a little bit more stingy in the basketball world where I feel like every day people are like, oh, he's a superstar. People are a superstar. I'm like, yo, I don't use that word. I don't use that word.
How many superstars do you think are in that? What is your
But there is another definition. What's the definition of a superstar?
I think in basketball-related terms, for me as a hooper every day, my life, Jimmy Butler's a superstar. I think in common everyday people's lives, he's not a superstar.
I agree.
He's not. He's not a common everyday household name like Stephen Curry is, like LeBron is, like KD has became over time, like Giannis has become because of winning a championship last year. I think Jimmy Butler can win a championship this year and still not be a superstar as seen outside the basketball circles, whereas inside those lines, I know what time it is.
See, again. I think he will if he win a championship.
We'll see.
The reason I say this is because for my definition of defining superstar, there's many things that go with that. What is his snack, crackle, pop off the court? We know when he's going to be on the court. Take care of business on the court. Now, all of a sudden, you start to see him in these commercials on the airlines.
Yep.
Now, all of a sudden, he's going to get more stuff. And people will start to gravitate toward that because Miami will become what it was once before with LeBron, with D-Wade, with Shaq, where all of a sudden the Miami Heat were cool. They were cool at that point in time.
I have two questions for you. Okay. One, why it feels like with him, we predicate so much on how we evaluate or think of players in their postseason performance.
Mm-hmm.
He is someone who rises to every single postseason playoff. So when you look at players and how you're categorizing every single postseason. And on top of that, why do you think with the bubble, them going to the finals, he had all the coffee and making the coffee. I mean, he's got such an enigmatic, great personality. Why do you think it didn't take off?
Didn't win.
Then?
Didn't win. He only got there. Had he beat the Lakers one, that's going to kick you to the next level. Yeah. Like, he's right there, but a championship kicks you to the next level. You know this, Sarah and Jay, y'all follow basketball till y'all wake up in the morning, all night long. When you don't win a championship, you're just a guy. When you win a championship, that thing takes you to another level.
You see,
nobody's superstars in the NBA without championships.
I don't even think if Miami won a championship, it would have taken him to the next level at that time. The reason,
you're right.
The reason why I think it added a notch for LeBron James is because he had already won three, and there's this race against Michael Jordan. Whereas I think with Jimmy, and people still use the bubble, to discredit the Lakers championship, even though I wouldn't. I know how difficult it is, but still, there are some valid points about going on the road, playing true road games in those type of environments, even though I think what they were able to accomplish was still extremely challenging.
So you felt like it was pickup basketball?
It was definitely levels to it, but it was just different.
Well,
everyone had that same sterile environment.
I was just about to say,
even more elevated excuse for Miami because of injuries, because of the bubble. I think this is like the first time you're seeing them go out and truly be that team. I still wonder where we'll put Jimmy Butler in the...
You win a championship, you straight.
But in the overall arch of superstardom compared to the others. So.
Yeah. Great stuff by Keyshawn, Jay Will, and Freddie coming in for Max Kellen. I'm with Sarah Kustak, Yes Network Basketball Analyst, giving us a straight talk, brother, by Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and Sirius XM Channel 80. Here's the problem.
I need more of the K.
Okay. Sarah Kustak, you feel better now?
Yeah, better.
Is that fine now?
Yeah.
It's not even your name. She's having a problem with it, but you guys have a problem with it.
Because it sounds like you're saying Kustaf.
It sounds like music to my ears.
Thank you.
However you say it.
Thank you. Thank you.
The voice. Freddie, I'm just going to start calling you the voice.
Freddie, just keep talking.
You can pronounce things however you want.
But I'll throw this at you guys real quick, because how many times we heard from people that they want very unselfish or selfless superstars. You have one in Jimmy Butler, and yet you don't want to give him credit. This guy scored 41 points last night and took 19 shots. We give other people credit when they score 50 in a game, they take 80 shots. This guy was that efficient, has been efficient on a national level for more than a minute. And to Key's point, now you're starting to see him more commercials. But yet, here's the problem with Jimmy Butler. We keep saying we're looking for that player. He's right here in the Eastern Conference Finals. He's been in the NBA Finals and went head up against LeBron and almost single-handedly got Miami a championship. He scared the Lakers to death.
Yeah.
But yet, there's always something that people want to look the other way for somebody else, where you have a guy in Jimmy Butler who is what you want in a basketball player and a superstar, and a guy who plays very selfless and makes his team better, and yet you always try to fight, yeah, but.
Yeah, but Freddie, but I was going to say, yeah, but Freddie, that narrative, like Sarah has said, has been fluid. That wasn't the same. I mean, look, if Miami doesn't get there, I don't know if we're having the same conversation about Jimmy, because I'm curious how things would have panned out in Miami.
Mm-hmm.
Just hearing stories around, you know, some of the friction that he's had with some players and with Eric Spoelstra. So it's funny, like, the story changes. And also, we're not even talking about Minnesota and how things went down in Minnesota, because I think that really hurt Jimmy Butler's overall character when people start assessing how he is. Now we're there where it's like, he's a winner. Look how it affects your culture in a great way. But it's been fluid, man. It's been an interesting ride.
You bounce back from that sort of stuff, though, Jay.
Yeah, by winning.
2 months ago, or whatever it was, 3 months ago, whenever the little tiff happened on the sideline in Miami, that was the conversation then. We don't know if they would have made it to the Eastern Conference Final and potentially to the championship. That conversation changes. Now that they look like they're going to go, guess what? Everything is kumbaya. That's just the way it is.
We'll see.
What do you mean by that, Sarah?
Well, but to Jay's point, this is where I think the accumulation of things, you go back to Minnesota. So I covered Jay. I was covering the Chicago Bulls when he came in his rookie year. And his story, I mean, people know.
Incredible.
Talk about, incredible, like, someone you should get behind, his backstory, what he came in as. First of all, him growing up, his rookie year, the progression of him from becoming a 20-point scorer his third year to an All-Star his fourth
Even
year.
Go back
playing
to him. He sent his letter of intent via fax from McDonald's to Marquette.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. I mean, I'll never forget, he came in for his press conference introducing him, and he was just so excited to go to Portillo's. Shout out Portillo's in Chicago.
Exactly.
But it's the little things. But to that point, then what happened with Minnesota and how that may have changed the perception of his leadership skills. But understanding that that's who he is, the dog. He was trying to get guys to a different level, but takes them to the playoffs. Then what happened with Philadelphia? And none of us are inside the locker rooms. None of us know the exact nature of things that go on with relationships. But the way that that ended, I often wonder, and we see the tiff with him and Spo on the sideline, which, you know, they're able to handle that. But I'm curious how much, in some regard, those types of things continue to build. And not saying it should, or not saying we know what's actually happening, but how that shades the way people view him, or the way in which he is discussed.
Well, Sarah, how do you view him in terms of the best players left in the playoffs when it comes to Jimmy Butler in Miami?
He's number two for me. Luka's number one. Jimmy's number two.
Who's three?
Number three.
Well, in rank analysis, you're going down this lane.
I've been back and forth on this, but up to this point, Tatum.
Yeah,
say
it with your chest.
Steph dropped 40 tonight, and then the conversation.
I think Steph's gonna come back. It's also wild for us to be talking about him not playing that well. And then you look at his not. I mean, he's shooting, 36% from three, and we're acting like that's – but he's not the Steph that we have known him to be.
Sure.
I think that will change.
Okay.
But up to this point, that's where I would
be. So just so I have it on the record, Sarah, I need you to give me 1 through 4. So 1 for you is
– Right now, are we –
Yes, you're giving us a list. Yes, 1 through 4.
Are you going to come back next week?
Number one,
Luka Doncic.
Number two.
Jimmy Butler.
Number three.
Ooh, I like this.
Yes.
Freddie, almost like your voice.
much better than mine.
Jason.
Oh, what's going on?
Jason Tatum.
No. She forgot the name now, Freddie. Oh,
good thing this is radio, not camera. Jason Tatum, number three.
Number four.
Oh, yeah, there we go, Freddie. Double that up. Steph. I got you, Steph.
I'm loving this. I love it. Yo, real talk.
I'm laying out.
Lay out. Another one. It is interesting, though, about Steph, and every Warriors fan gets so angry because they're diehard Stephen Curry fans, and I get it. But we have not seen the best of Stephen Curry yet. In game six, he helped close out down the stretch against Memphis. But still, like it feels like you're waiting for him to get to this point. But we've been talking more so about Jordan Poole than we have about Stephen Curry.
But his not best is good enough.
Understand, because of the way that team is constructed, yes. Yeah. And it's about getting there.
Yes.
It's about getting there.
We just talked about the individual numbers. And we talked about that. When you put up individual numbers, he's on SportsCenter. But they getting there.
Yeah, being the fourth best player in the postseason isn't a knock.
No, it's not.
It's not a knock.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but when you say that about a guy who was the only unanimous MVP in the history of the league, it feels like a slight, even though we as basketball people, we're just telling you what we see with our eyes.
That's true. Sarah's Rankings brought to you by Dell for your small business needs. Call Dell Technologies Advisor today at 877-ASK-DELL. That is 877-ASK-DELL. Real quick, when you guys mentioned about Steph Curry, by the way, Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, Keyshawn Johnson, Jay Williams, Freddie Cohen from Max Kellum, along with Sarah Kustak of the Yes Network. So there, Keyshawn Johnson on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and Sirius XM Channel 80. It's funny you mentioned about Steph Curry because he's gotten to a certain point where anything less than the level we're used to seeing, it's like we don't want to account for the fact that Steph Curry's not a young guy anymore. Steph Curry's part of the old heads now because it's becoming a young heads game now. It's going to be Luka's league. It's going to be Jason Tatum's league. It's going to be those Ja Morant. It's going to be their league sooner than later. We have to get used to the fact that Steph and Klay are part of the old heads now. They're with Kevin Durant and closer to that, and LeBron James and those guys. And yet, Jay Wynn, you pointed out, he's not playing well because we're used to a level that we may not see again, and we may have to get used to that because Steph Curry's not that young kid anymore, lighting up the NBA from the three-point line like we're used to seeing.
He's shooting 37% from three.
Well, Freddie, exactly.
Well, Freddie, hold on. Now, I do want to put it into perspective because sometimes the days get confused with the weeks and the months and the years. It was at the beginning of the year, man. People were saying that he was going to be the MVP.
No doubt. I hear you.
Before he got hurt. Like,
I hear you.
The dude was playing, even though he went through a little bit of a downward spiral, like, he was playing a prolific level of basketball that reminded y'all he's still that guy.
Man.
But to put it in perspective, and Key, I know what you're about to say, but to put it in perspective how incredible he is, this was the first season he ever shot under 41% from three. So we are just so numb.
Yep.
To him being lights out.
But whatever, 36-37% is still damn good, right? And he's got a whole nother two series potentially to go through in the playoffs, meaning this one in the championship. All of a sudden, you look up and dude's shooting 45%.
But see, here's what I hate about it. Because I think when it's all said and done, Stephen Curry will be a top 10 greatest player of all time when his career is all said and done.
Okay.
But if he doesn't be the guy, right, on this team in the next two series, even though he will have four world championships, two without Kevin Durant, okay, if he does, some people, you ready for it, finals MVP, if he doesn't get that, that goes like a Jordan Poole or a Klay Thompson.
Some people
try to use that to discredit
his legacy. You mean Max Kellerman?
Yeah, and I refuse to let that happen.
I agree with that.
I'm with you.
Because this is a team sport. Yes.
That does not matter.
But
that's
one of Max's hangups, though. He's really stuck on our other co-host.
And I'm like, he already was.
He already was. He is. He also changed the complexion of how you play and shoot and NBA. Like, there were so many things that –
my son shoots from his kneecaps.
Exceed how the game is played now that Steph Curry has an imprint on.
Yes.
And it's a part of the way he played. It's a part of what he does. Yeah. So I think that you factor in. But I think one finals MVP to his long list of his resume is not going to affect how we remember him, where we place him, the legacy that he has. To me, that has no bearing on what it is that we look at. And he's still got a long career. His game is going to age well. Like, he's still got a lot of miles left.
I'll say this about, if Eric Spoelstra wins a world championship, is he one of the greatest coaches the game of basketball has ever seen?
But see, without,
he's starting to have that conversation about him
now.
Because he's already top 15 in the NBA.
What's so crazy about that,
NBA's top 75, right? Top 15 greatest coaches in NBA history. He's already there. So it starts that conversation.
But Jay, He ain't never go get that credit, though?
Never.
Never.
No, 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 no.
Here's why. I'm going to tell you why.
Jackson and,
no, I'm going to tell you why. One, he's had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 Hall of Famers. Hold on. This is what they're going to say. Say there are 7 Hall of Famers, right? And a dude above him.
Pat Riley.
Yep. Pat Riley. They're going to give Pat Riley all of that credit, even though Espo is the one on the floor doing it.
Well, same for Phil Jackson. I mean, Michael Jordan, Scottie Pippen.
But what are they going to do with Phil Jackson?
Jerry Krause is the one that drafted a lot of these players.
Here's why Phil gets the credit, because he unlocked Michael Jordan.
Eric Spoelstra didn't unlock LeBron James?
That's what LeBron went to a championship without Eric Spoelstra.
He learned how to win in Miami.
I get it, though. No, he went to a championship in Cleveland.
To a championship and lost, but he didn't get it over the hump.
But they're going to say LeBron, and I understand what you're saying, he unlocked LeBron. But Phil Jackson unlocked Michael. Michael Jordan was just a scorer, an all-star. He didn't take the Bulls to a championship.
All coaches are byproducts of their organization when it's all said and done.
What they'll say.
Where I disagree with you, Key, is that the team, you mentioned the Hall of Famers he's had, the teams, the personnel, the fit, the style of play, he has been able to navigate what his group looks like and how he gets them to win. And I think some of the most impressive seasons have not necessarily been the final seasons, have not when they made, like, the groups
that
of
one
players
season a couple years ago,
that
they
he
had
is able
That's
to get everything out of. And if you watch him, I mean, the basketball heads that watch him in a game, the in-game adjustment, like, you can't credit putting together rosters, bringing guys together. That's one thing.
Yeah.
The in-game adjustments that he makes, to me, are second to none.
I mean, like we mentioned, they've outscored their opponents by a plus 102 in the third quarter in the NBA playoffs. That's making those kind of adjustments after what happened in the first half didn't work, and make sure that they're going to flip that around and work in the second half when it comes to Eric Spoelstra. Great.
And Freddie, just reminding people, Jimmy Butler was the 30th pick in the first round.
Oh, you know, and you're too young to notice, Sarah and Jay Will, but Keyshawn will notice as well. The Miami Heat are just like that old adage by Bumfield's old NFL coach. They can take Hizen and beat Yun, then take Yun and beat Hizen. And that's what the Miami Heat do. They take guys, they bring them, and they make them better than what they were, or even not even considered when from that standpoint. Great conversation involving Keyshawn Johnson, Jay Williams, Sarah Kustak in for Freddie Coleman as well, with Max Kellerman on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and Sirius XM Channel 80 on Keyshawn, Jay Will, and Max. You're going to find out why the numbers 1 and 240 have a lot to do with the future when it comes to James Harden. That's after Jay Williams has this from Straight Talk.
Cutting the price from your wireless bill feels good. Really good, Key.
Yes.
Actually, it feels great. You should try it. So cut your bill by switching to Straight Talk Wireless, now offering our $45 Silver Unlimited plan with 5 gigabytes of hotspot and nationwide 5G on America's largest, most dependable networks. The $45 Silver Unlimited plan from Straight Talk. Straight Talk Wireless. No contract, no compromise. A month equals 30 days. See terms and conditions at straighttalk.com. 5G capable device required. Actual availability, coverage, and speed may vary.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's electricebikes.com.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
We're about to find out why the numbers 1 and 240 have a lot to do with the future of James Harden in Philadelphia. With Keyshawn Johnson, Jay Williams, Freddie coming in for Max Kellerman, and Keyshawn, Jay Will, and Max on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, since XM Channel 80. Sarah Kustok from the Basketball Analyst, joining us here to talk about James Harden and that Supermax contract. Is he going to opt in for that 1 year, or will they not even have that when it comes to Philadelphia and sign him to a max deal that could involve up to $240 million? Sarah, a lot of discussion about this inside, outside of Philadelphia. People think that Daryl Morey would be crazy to give him a Supermax contract. It would not surprise me if he did, but it's going to be very interesting about, is he going to get that Supermax contract? If you're Daryl Morey, what are you doing?
Freddie, if I'm Daryl Morey, there is no way I'm giving the Supermax contract to James Harden, but let me couch this by saying, I do. So I got to watch James Harden up close and personal when he came over the trade from Brooklyn, and I've never been so wowed by a player in watching him on TV. See him twice a year, a handful of times throughout the course of just watching film, as opposed to a night-by-night basis. His nature of understanding the game, his passing. There's so many aspects to his game that I think, despite what we've seen with his body, his conditioning, his hamstring, how he will be able to return and still find ways to potentially age gracefully into ways he can be impactful for a team. That being said, that doesn't make a Supermax player. And so I think, no matter what he's done through his career, it's what's it going to look like the next 4 or 5 years? What's it going to look like next year? What's it going to look like the next 2 years? And so to me, his ability to be able to have an off-season to get his body right, an off-season and preseason and camp to better understand how to play in the system the Doc wants them to play, how to play better next to Embiid, what it looks like in the surrounding cast, where he was so good when I saw him at his best was his ability to elevate the others around him. And I'm just not sure he had that time in the short span of what he did with Philly in the small amount of time to really figure that out for himself and figure out where his body was. We saw he didn't have that first step. He didn't have the burst. He couldn't get to the basket. All of those things, I think we too quickly assume a player should just be able to snap and turn and be able to perform. And so that's why Supermax, no. Do you figure out a way to still pay him and extend him? However, I think he can still be an impactful player just in a different way than we've seen him in the past.
So here's what I would say prior to trading for James Harden if I'm in the room. Sarah, if I'm in the room and I know that I'm getting James Harden, I already know what he's going to potentially be. But I also have to be cautious of what he could be down the line. So I'm saying to myself, okay, I got to give him $275 million because he's going to opt in and we got to do this deal. If it doesn't work out, what am I willing to do? I've given up a haul to get him. I can't let him walk out the door. I'll look like an idiot as a front office guy. $270+ million are on the line. Year one and two, whatever that number is going to be, now I'm thinking about 3, 4, and 5. Am I willing as an organization, Jay, in years 3, 4, and 5 of the deal to pay a guy, I don't know what they are, 50+, $60 million on the back end for what I would deem at that age from now to then as a role player for us? Am I willing to spend 50, call it, let's for round numbers, $150 million over the last 3 years of a deal for a role player? Am I willing to do that? Because if I'm willing to do it, then I go ahead and extend him $240-something million and let him know, can't give it all to you, but I give you 240 because you're not going to get the 240 in the streets. You're just not. At least I don't think, based on all the negativity that he's gotten over the last couple of months about his play, that somebody out there is going to say, here's $250 million.
Real quick, especially when the only thing missing from your resume is a championship.
Yeah. So I can sell that to get him on the cheap, and we want to go out and buy some players to help us win.
Yeah, maybe you'll be able to get him a couple million off, $10 million, $15 million. He's going to get his money.
So I can't get you for $240?
Maybe $250, $260.
But you're not getting.
I'm just going to put this in perspective. Look, I've been the first one to say this, guys, about James Harden. About James Harden. No, James Harden, first off, is going to get the bag because he is entrenched in the organization. Daryl Morey has known this guy for a long time. Same with Michael Rubin, the owner, one of the owners of the team, has known him for a very long time. That's number one. Number two, and I said that I don't see James Harden coming back this year to the player he was, but the dude is playing on a hurt hamstring.
Okay.
So I am going to put that in perspective, and I am going to do justice to James Harden. He's one of the most innovative players the game of basketball has ever seen. So I am willing to say this. If James Harden has a sit-down meeting with Daryl Morey, Doc Rivers, ownership, and says, you know what, y'all? Y'all are exactly right. I'm going to do what it takes to get my body back in shape. I'm going to be here, and next year is going to be different. It's going to be scary hours all over again. If he does all those things, he's going to get his bag. He's going to get it. You're going to give it to him,
Kate. I understand that, but it's like baseball. On the back end,
see,
or are you willing to pay that money on the back end?
I'm not worried as much if that brings me a championship. I need to win a championship. So I'm more looking at Tobias Harris and the makeup of my roster more so than I'm looking at James Harden. I'm saying, Tobias Harris, I like you, not for that price. And that was management before me. I have to find a way to get you off my books. I have to find a way to get another superstar in here potentially or other better fitting pieces that help James Harden to be that prolific passer that can knock down shots consistently from the outside.
Is he your number two or number three?
I mean, if I could have him as my number three, I'd take that.
For that kind of money?
What do you think the Brooklyn Nets were going to do?
Do you think Maxie
it was the same
will,
thing, Freddie? KD, think, Kyrie.
Yeah, but he looked good with the Nets, though.
But that's what I'm saying. He dealt with injury. I'm not losing fact of who James Harden was a year ago. I'm not.
Yeah, and Key, that's where I think
it's not frowning.
You can't, you can't overlook between injury and between change. And he is such he's such a cerebral player that his fit, like this was the least amount of shots he took his time in Philly and through the postseason since like his third or fourth year in the league, since he was playing with Oklahoma City, since he was like a sixth guy. Like he wasn't. I think there's reasons he wasn't himself. Once he talked, he talked a lot about his confidence and his body.
Yeah, I understood.
But additionally, I think he is someone that is so focused on the actual. Like, think about he plays at a slower pace. He's very paced. He's very methodical. He's deliberate. He is so specific about, I want you here in the corner, and you come up here on the way. Everything that he runs is so strategic in how he sees the floor, how he sees picking apart a defense. And I don't think he had the runway to figure that out with Doc, with the group, with the pick.
Definitely not with Matisse Thybulle sitting in the short corner.
But that's part of the things that I think it was all about personnel. It was all about time. And like that series, I don't know if it changes, but not having Embiid, those two games, like there was just a lot of factors that I think are complicated and layered when it comes to
it. He did enough for me with Philly where I would pay him, but I'm just thinking as a front office person in years 3, 4, and 5 of the new deal. That type of money, because what has James Harden got for you? Does he got another 5 years of greatness?
If that money gets you one championship, is it worth it?
I don't know, Jay.
I think it is.
I don't know because it ain't my money.
It may not be their money, but it may not be their championship either.
I mean, they don't get it done in Philly. Simmons and Kyrie and KD get you a chip. Is it worth it? Yeah, for a lot of owners, it is.
Yeah, for a lot of owners, it is.
Of course, they'll
have that championship pay for a lot of things and sins that they're going to have that championship, no matter what a player is going to bring to the table. Keyshawn, Jay Will, and Max, Keyshawn Johnson, Jay Williams, Freddie coming in for Max Kellerman, Sarah Kustak from the Yes Network joining us here on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and Sirius XM Channel 80. The word need when it comes to Game 1 tonight involving the Mavericks and the Warriors kick off the Western Conference Finals. That's next.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack your 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th, one-time use only, not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and Sirius XM Channel 80. Keyshawn Johnson, Jay Williams, Freddie Coleman, and for Max Kellerman. We have the NBA Draft Lottery. The Orlando Magic, for the fourth time in the lottery era, will be picking number one. But, Jay Will, a lot of buzz not about it, and we had the discussion about should the NFL have a draft lottery like the NBA does.
No!
I just – look, anything that we often talk about this on the show, Freddie, that football is king, right? I can't tell you how many times – I've heard that line. Mm-hmm. And I get it. When Tom Brady, you talk about all the big-time superstars in the NFL, how their season, it's incredible, right? It's a great product. Anything you can do to build layering around the marketing of that product, why would you not do it?
Well, the problem, though, the NBA, though, Jay, is essentially you are forfeiting games by tanking to get in the lottery pool. Mm-hmm. In the National Football League, the mentality of the player, you got to hear me here, you and Sarah, the mentality of the player is different.
That's not always the case in basketball, though. Players aren't just tanking. I mean, you may have organizations that tried tanking, like Philly back in the day, but mostly organizations.
That's why I'm curious, Keith.
Because if I tank as a player, that affects my dough.
If you're putting a bad product out on the field, those players are still going to run through a wall because they are playing for 31 other teams. In basketball, I feel like you could put a bad product out on the court every single year by selecting bad players that don't belong in the damn NBA.
But that's different than the players not running through a wall when they're on the floor. Because this is their opportunity.
I think players will run through a wall when they're on the floor. But if four players or three players run through a wall when they're on the floor, you ain't going to be a last place team in the NBA. When you got good players.
If you have good players.
If you got good players, like
Oklahoma City, for example, Al Horford didn't play all of last year. He's fresh this year for Boston. But, like, it's also guys you determine, we're going to shut you down. Oh, you may have an injury.
Sacramento, De'Aaron Fox, and Sabonis.
But that's not the players.
But another thing you got to realize, though, is in the NBA, their money is so long and guaranteed, they're going to get their money. In the NFL, if you ain't on film,
forget it.
You can forget it.
Yeah, but okay, but it still doesn't tap into like what's wrong with having the lottery, regardless of whether players decide to take or not.
Because you got
to
be a bad team, coach.
Yeah, but there are automatically bad teams in the NFL.
Think about think about what happened with the Miami Dolphins a couple years ago, Brian Flores. Everybody thought that they were tanking. Man, them dudes was running through a wall, and then when it hit, they became a playoff team. It just don't work like that. In the NBA, you getting ready to get $150 million whether you put a shot up or not.
I mean, that depends if Stephen Ross was telling him for $100,000. There's a lot of different stuff here we can get into.
Allegedly.
Allegedly.
No, I really didn't know what a roast was.
It is Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, SiriusXM Channel 80.
Hold on, Freddie. Keep talking over this beat. Keep going.
Listen, I didn't realize. I thought it was Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, not like Quiet Storm Radio in the morning. If you had told me that,
just give the people what they want.
Freddie, Jay's hating on me right now. This isn't about you. This isn't about you. This is about me.
This isn't about you. This is about Sarah, Freddie.
That she bat the eyelashes. Correct on that.
Bullets already firing over here.
She said, "Keep talking to me, Freddie."
I can see it now. Jay wants to talk up records now here on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max.
Y'all get ready to cause some problems up here, man.
Kiss After Dark with Freddie.
You're now tuning to WDAS FM.
Yes. Somewhere Frankie Crocker is smiling on this whole conversation. Let's put it that way. You got a chance to choose your own adventure. The categories were roast to Tom Brady, Heat take game one of the Eastern Conference Finals over Boston, Leo Messi to MLS, or Luka versus Steph expectation for game one tonight. That won the day at 43%, Luka versus Steph. Heat take game one of the Eastern Conference Finals at 19%, Messi to MLS at 21%. And the roast of Tom Brady, 17%, everybody, in terms of choose your own adventure.
Where's the game at?
San Francisco.
Yeah.
Golden State's home court advantage.
Why, Chase? Who told me it was in? Somebody told me it was in Dallas.
Hey, real quick, James, what's the spread for tonight?
Let me check on that real quick. Yes,
exactly. 7.5.
I wonder how much Dallas is giving me tonight.
Oh, you going to place a little bit of a wager?
I won last night. I told people 2-point favorite for Miami, take it.
Yeah, Golden State's a 5-point favorite.
Five point favorite.
Yeah, over under 214.5.
Over under 214.5. Ooh. Mm-hmm.
It's kind of low.
I think Dallas gets tonight.
You do?
I think they're on a roll.
Why?
I think they've got so much feel good right now after they played in game 6, game 7. I think they've got no pressure. And I think Luka is just at another level. He's going to be out hunting. I'm worried. Have you been to Chase Center yet?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
How would you compare that with Oracle? I know it's hard to compare not with Oracle, but how I know, it's but different, how much
different
you think,
feel.
How much you think that factors in?
There's definitely a different feel in Chase. It doesn't feel as rowdy as Oracle felt to me.
Because
would you agree with that?
Yeah, I would agree. Geographic
location,
maybe.
Well,
what does it look? What is it, Oakland?
Of how it's built.
One is nice and pretty in San Francisco.
Yeah, right. And it takes time.
It's a different level of money in Frisco versus the fan base that was in Oakland. Mm-hmm. Which is true.
I agree. Yeah,
that's why they call it the Roracle.
I think there's a looseness that the complementary players are playing with for Dallas, and that comes from Luka. That I think game one. I'm not saying the series, but I think game one they just come in. I think Dinwiddie's going to be hitting shots. I think Brunson. I think they are going to be able to carry over what they did.
See, the same way I felt. Same way I felt about Memphis, though, Jay, versus Golden State. I feel like Denver. We've been there, done that, man. Ain't no pressure on. We know what we're doing. Y'all got to prove
to us. Golden State.
Yes. You got to prove to us. Y'all know what y'all doing.
But I'm curious how will they play? They're going to go big. They're going to go small. Is Looney going to start? Like,
I would go small so I can switch all the action.
Yep.
I would probably be limited with what I do with Looney. We'll use him in gaps and spurts because I think the switchability you can have on Luka, those matchups will get targeted. And I don't want Kevon Looney on Luka on the perimeter dancing around because if he gets going, like that's the key. Like but everybody says, just let Luka give you 40. I'm like, no, because like he's similar to Steph. There are certain players in this league, Sarah, you know this, about are momentum players that create momentum for their team. Luka and Steph are that. So I want to limit his momentum.
Can you slide Draymond or Klay on him?
I think I start with Andrew Wiggins on him, And then in ball screen actions, I'm trying to find ways. If Steph is on the court, they're going to target Steph.
Thick for Wiggins, though.
They're going to target Steph.
And then Poole will come in and they'll target him. I mean, yes. That's all.
They're going to target those
Doncic
two.
Doncic is just how they, out to hunt.
Yes.
But he might be too thick for Wiggins.
The question is, can the momentum get behind Golden State scoring-wise? Because if you get into a scoring punch, I hear what you're saying about Spencer Dinwiddie and Jalen Brunson. But those two aren't always consistently coming to the table
Absolutely.
Now. So, like, how would they respond if that offensive, like, avalanche starts to happen for Golden State? Can they counter back with another punch?
Well, and think about how different the system, what I will with the Warriors, the cutting actions, the That's movement, what, yeah. the yeah. spacing, the like, that is so different than what they saw at a Phoenix. So, defensively for Dallas, I'm just curious how you go about counteracting what you just saw, and could you make the switch that
See,
quickly?
See, here's one thing that people don't talk about enough. With Golden State. Like, everybody out there, if you play pickup basketball, here's the only kind of analogy I can give you. When you go to like a 24-hour fitness or a Y, and you're playing against that team where all they do is just move, run, you're like, mm-hmm. yo, I am tired.
Yep.
You naturally start to stand
That's the
up.
Only way I'm effective anymore.
Yeah, exactly. Right?
I got nothing in me.
Yeah, nothing
but to outrun you.
Right? Or you try to save some of your energy for the offensive end, or you inevitably get caught standing up, or you start catching a little bit of a cramp. So that's the challenge with guarding Golden State, because all that action, whereas the two, you said it, Sarah, the two offenses mirrored each other with Phoenix and Dallas, because what Luka's bringing the ball yep. down. CP3's bringing the ball down. Here comes the ball screen. How are we defending it?
Yep.
There's not as much off the ball action as there will be with Golden State. That's hard to guard, man.
Here's something else, that they're going to be hunting Luka Doncic and switches too. We talk about Dallas is going to be hunting Steph Curry. The best way you can wear down a guy like Steph Curry and Chris Paul, what we saw in the series from Phoenix, you do the same thing to Luka Doncic and hunt him out and make him have to move a lot more than he wants to. Take away his legs in the fourth quarter when he has to shoot the basketball.
I agree. And they'll bump on him everything. They'll run him off stuff. But that's where I think Dallas has been very strategic in how they use him, where they use him. That's though where Doncic, for as much as you could pick on him, to me sometimes the size, like you're at least covering ground, you're covering airspace, you're able to make up some of that just with your sheer size and physicality. And so, to me, that's not the same as I'm hunting Steph or I'm hunting Poole and how you're looking at those.
So we have this conversation. Is Michael Jordan without the triangle system? You can have a legit argument about that, even though he would be a prolific scorer, right? Same thing with Stephen Curry. Stephen Curry is Stephen Curry without the continuity system that they've installed, because that's been a game changer for them. Like, there's certain players sometimes, like, you could say systems, but, like, offensive systems – like, those are two probably the best systems in basketball.
But what if Curry is the system?
He's a major part of the system. Same with Michael Jordan.
You can't have the system without him.
You install.
You can't have the
system
without him.
Because of
that's how you found Jordan Poole.
You know, his ability to shoot the way he is, you installed that particular type of play.
But same with Phil Jackson. You got Kobe Bryant in the system. Same system as Michael Jordan. So that's how you found Jordan Poole in this system. Players that fit that system, grow up in that system, they know how to monetize it and leverage it the best way. We'll it's interesting.
See. Yeah, it's going to be very interesting. Game
well,
one
we
tonight.
We should have put you in a system.
I was in a system, which is not built for a PG.
Oh, good Lord.
Stop complaining.
Oh, good.
Much rather be in this Jason Kidd system.
Yeah, yes. More reaction to the Eastern Conference Finals.
Don't complain. Don't explain. This is what I would told Jake.
Thanks for listening to Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.